The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. There's a story about a teenage boy who said to his father, "Dad, let me borrow the car." And the father responded, "Son, we've been over this, and we've talked about your hair. It's too long. You're not borrowing the car until you cut your hair." And the son responded, "Dad, Jesus had long hair." And without skipping a beat, the dad said, "That's right, son, he did. And he walked everywhere he went." You know, the story illustrates one of the problems for us. One of the problems facing the church is not so much the outright rejection of Jesus, it's the way we misuse Jesus to try to justify everything we do, right? Blaise Pascal once said that God created us in his image, and we've been returning the favor ever since. And nowhere else is that probably more the case than in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount begins in Matthew chapter 5 with a series of statements known as the Beatitudes, blessings. And it's interesting that these have been very popular over the years. Simon and Garfunkel had a song about it, and oftentimes political candidates will make reference to it. But oftentimes people have used the Beatitudes simply to make people feel bad for not doing enough. People have often used the Beatitudes to say, "See, you're not being meek enough. You're not hungry and thirsty enough for righteousness. You're not being poor in spirit enough." And there's this constant sort of feeling of looking down on people who aren't doing these things. And there's others who have pointed to this and said, if you just do these things, this is how you get to heaven. But here's the problem. The Beatitudes aren't telling us to actually do anything. These aren't commands. They're not ethical exhortations. They're simply pronouncements. In fact, the only command in these 12 verses is in verse 12, which is rejoice and be glad. But rather than telling us simply to do something, the Beatitudes are inviting us to embrace a certain kind of life. And so here's the question I want us to deal with this morning as disciples of Jesus. What kind of life is Jesus inviting us to embrace? If the Beatitudes are inviting us to embrace a certain kind of life, what kind of life? And we see here in the Beatitudes, he's inviting us to embrace a life that is ordinary, yet radical. So I want to just look under those two brief points. Jesus is inviting us to a life that is ordinary, and Jesus is inviting us to embrace a life that is radical. So let's look first of all. Jesus is inviting us to embrace a life that is ordinary. And here's what I mean. When you look at the Beatitudes, there's nothing at all glamorous about the characteristics that Jesus is promising to bless in us. The poor in spirit, that means recognizing how impoverished you are. Hungry and thirsty, mournful, persecuted. I mean, that just sounds like everyday, ordinary life, doesn't it? Not some escape from reality. And that's the point. Jesus gives the Beatitudes to give us permission to be human. To give us permission to struggle. To show us that it's not in the ecstatic moments necessarily that we find God, but it's in the ordinary, difficult moments where God is most present. Let's take for an example being a mother. A friend of mine posted an article on Facebook last night that was simply called "Why Being a Mom is Enough for Me." And it was an interesting article. Here's how it began. It said, "I want to talk about simply being a mom. I'm talking about getting up in the morning early, slapping your face with water, looking in the mirror, sighing, brushing your teeth, maybe, and picking up that toddler and wandering into the kitchen and pouring cereal in bowls, rinsing dishes, kissing the top of their head, mopping the floor, doing laundry, and waiting for your coffee to brew." She goes on and says, "There isn't much glamour in that, but there is you. You giving of yourself minute by minute by minute until those hours add up to create a day, which adds up to create a week, which adds up to create a month, which adds up to create years, which add up to create a life, not just any life, but a beautiful life filled with ordinary moments." That's what the Beatitudes are inviting us to embrace. A life in which we realize that we're broken. We're poor in spirit. We're hungry. We're thirsty. We're mournful. People give us a bad time. People hurt us sometimes. And God loves us. Here's the point. Jesus is inviting you to recognize the blessedness of the ordinary. Let's just get practical for a minute. What is this? What might this mean for us in practical terms? Well, let me just say one thing in particular. A lot of things, really, but one thing in particular. If we really understand this, it means that we're free from living with sort of a we them attitude. You know, there's us spiritual people, and then there's those sinners out there. The Beatitudes do away with all of that. Jesus shows us in the Beatitudes that if we understand the gospel, if we understand his teaching, that we won't have that kind of attitude toward others, because we'll be recognizing that everyone is poor in spirit. Everyone is in need of a peacemaker. And we're all made in the image of God. So that's the first thing that Jesus is teaching in the Beatitudes. He's inviting us to embrace a life that is ordinary. Now, there's a second observation here, and that's this. Jesus is inviting us to embrace a life that is radical. Now, here's what I mean. Even though the Beatitudes are inviting you to embrace a life that is ordinary, Jesus is showing us, and the disciples went on to show us, and church history went on to show us, that those who live this way have a profound impact on ultimately changing the world. It's amazing. I mean, it's saying, in fact, the only way to be satisfied and effective in the world is to understand what it means to live this way, to embrace this kind of life, because it's so different from modern values and the way that we're trained to think of what it means to be successful. Now, I hope you enjoy the Super Bowl tonight. It's good. It's good fun. But notice for a moment that the values of the Beatitudes are somewhat different than the values of what it takes to win a Super Bowl, isn't it? And Jesus is saying that those who live humbly, as Carol read, who do justice, who walk humbly with their God, who have compassion on others, ultimately change the world. And that's the opposite of the way we normally think we should live. I mean, think again about the things that are mentioned in the Beatitudes. The very things that Jesus considers blessed are often the very things that we try our best to avoid. We don't want to be mournful. We don't want to be poor in spirit. We don't want to be persecuted. And the pure in heart, that's for people who don't want to have fun, right? That's the way we're inclined to think. And yet Jesus is saying, with the Sermon on the Mount, he's reversing the controls. I grew up watching different movies about the history of air flight and so forth. And one of the interesting documentaries I saw as a kid was about Chuck Yeager and the early attempts to break the sound barrier. For years and years, it was speculated, can a person actually fly faster than the speed of sound? And it actually was accomplished, but one of the phenomenons that was encountered as they experimented with this early on was something called control reversal. And what happened was, as soon as the pilot broke the sound barrier, all of his controls worked in reverse for some strange reason. And so if he pulled up, the plane went down. If he pushed down, the plane went up. If he went to the side, to the left, it went to the right. And it was very disorienting. It took some getting used to. But there's a sense in which Jesus is saying, living the Beatitudes, living the Sermon on the Mount, is sort of like that. When you're inclined to attack someone who has hurt you, refrain and offer them love. When you're inclined to think that if you can only be wealthy, then you'll finally be happy, then consider Jesus, who said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And so Jesus is inviting us to embrace that reality, a life that is ordinary and yet a life that is radical because it changes everything. And here's the thing. We do that not by simply trying harder to be good, but by looking closer at Jesus. I mean, think about it. The things that you see here aren't things that you can simply will yourself to do. You can't make yourself be poor in spirit. So how do you become poor in spirit? You do it by looking at Jesus, who the Bible says, though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. You can't make yourself be hungry for righteousness. How do you do that? You do it by looking at Jesus, the one who fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness and became hungry so that you could be filled with the bread of life. How do you become thirsty for righteousness? By looking at the one who on the cross cried out, I am thirsty, so that you could gather together with his people and drink the cup of the communion of his blood, which covers all of your sin, past, present, and future. Thanks be to God for loving us so much. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the Beatitudes, for the kind of life that it invites us to embrace, a life that is both ordinary, not glamorous, and yet a life that radically changes everything. We thank you for Jesus, who has set the way for us and who loves us and who has proved that love by going to the cross. We pray in his name. Amen.